cliffcentral.com.
Yep, here we are. Good morning. Oh, a long weekend ahead of us. Isn't that nice? Thursday, but it's more like a Friday and everybody's chilled. Oh, shit, I need this weekend. I feel like I've just got over this flu and now I'm feeling good. Good morning, my buddy Malloy.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
You know, I just breezed past an article that's titled Men Really Do Get Affected by the Flu More Than Women.
Oh, really?
Like, the man flu thing is apparently real.
So can I expect a little bit of sympathy from you then? Not a chance, right?
That's going to be never very difficult. Happen.
All right, morning, Sia. Morning, Flax. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, we start this morning off. We go straight to the calls.
Oh.
Yeah. Bright and early. Let's see who's up this time of the day. Good morning. Hello.
Morning.
Morning. Who's this?
This is Astrid.
Hello, Astrid. What's up?
Is this Gareth?
Astrid, do you start every sentence by cackling like a hag, or is there a point to this call?
There is a point. I mean, who's speaking?
It's Gareth. You called me, Astrid. What are you, also suffering from Alzheimer's?
What?
What's the deal here? What can I do for Astrid? What's happening? Come on, speak to me, baby.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I just want to say hi and have a good weekend and yeah.
Well, that's sweet of you. Thank you.
Yes.
What are you doing what are you doing for the long weekend?
I am I don't know, nothing.
I'm going to guess maybe some drinking?
No. I've got a busy schedule. I'm going to see Batman vs. Superman.
What?
I'm going to see Batman vs. Superman, the movie.
Oh, okay. Batman and Superman. That's where they fight with each other and someone's going to win. Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I you know, Superman should win because he's a real man. He doesn't have to wear a mask or a suit.
Right. And his powers are real. Batman has to use gadgets and shit, right?
Yes, you're on Superman's side.
All right. Well, listen, Astrid, I'm intrigued as to why you should be up this early. What are you doing this Thursday morning that wakes you up at 6 o'clock?
I wake up early every morning, like 5 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Supposedly that's good for you, huh?
Yes, it is.
I spoke to a dude the other day who said to me, all these people who complain about they don't have enough time and they don't get to do enough. He said, just wake up an hour earlier and you'll be surprised how much more you get done.
That's right, but also then I sleep late, so yes, I get a full day in.
Where are you calling us from?
From Boxburg.
Boxburg, cool. Well, well, yeah, all right. I mean, even Boxburg deserves to have phone lines. What do you do?
I'm an interior designer.
Oh, wow. All right, very nice.
Yeah, you can give me a call anytime you need some, like, help, you know, for your house. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll be sure to let Flex keep your number on hold. Hey, listen, by the way, he said that you've been calling a couple of mornings in a row now, waiting to get on. So I assume you have something very important to tell us. What is it that you wanted to tell us?
Well, I just wanted to have the opportunity and the honor to speak to one of the most... The most exciting, interesting celebrities that South Africa has.
That's Mabali Molloy. Here she is. Let me put her on to you. Here she is.
Okay. All right.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, Astrid. We love you.
Thank you.
All right, honey. I love you.
Well, y'all guys have a good weekend.
I love you. You meant to say I love you too. Why do I feel like I'm back at primary school trying to chat up some girl and she doesn't want to give me any love back? Astrid?
I know you have a problem like with love. You say love, you had bad luck and all that kind of thing.
How about you? You had any love in your life?
No, I'm frustrated.
Sexually frustrated or love frustrated?
I don't know. What are you? I just think you and I have a lot in common. You speak your mind. I love that. I'm the same. I speak my mind. I'm controversial.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like it when I speak my mind, but, you know, you gotta sometimes.
Flax, I think we've got a new regular caller here, in Astrid. You must make sure you get her number and we can talk. Now, I want to talk to you about everything, politics and religion and South Africa.
And racism.
What kind
stuff that I went through.
What racism, you know? What racism have you experienced?
You know what? Years ago, okay, you're not that young, so yes, you'll understand what I'm saying. Years ago when there were trains, you know, then... As a non-white, we'd have to obviously go with a board seat. With a board seat, no European. What is it?
Yeah, it said slechts.
On the white side, it would be like slechts blancas and whatever.
Yeah, of nie blancas.
Nie blancas, yeah. Nie blancas. So, can't then we had to go in there and.
Jesus, they didn't. I hope they didn't call you that as well.
What?
No, nothing. I thought they called you something as well. Okay.
Oh, they called me what?
No, well, I mean, what did they say? Did they say that you were colored? Did they say that you were Indian? Did they say that you were black?
No,
what was the thing?
I am. Till this day, I'm non-white. I'm not black. Yeah. I'm not white. So I'm like colored.
Yeah.
So my grandmother was like Scottish and on my mother's side. And on my father's side, my grandfather was Portuguese, so
they weren't allowed. They weren't allowed to have that steamy love affair of theirs back in those days.
No, they were, because he was Portuguese. He was like, you know, no. On my father's side, his father was Portuguese. His mother was Italian. On my side, my mother's mother was Scottish, and her father was Muslim. If I can say that on the E.
You can always say Muslim. Why would you not be able to say that?
I don't know. I'm just saying it.
But Astrid, so basically you are like a cocktail mix of races, so you know all about it.
Well, you know, as colored people, we went through the worst times as well as, like, maybe the best times sometimes.
All right. Well, listen, you get a good day underway, and you start doing something productive with your day, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Thank you.
All right, honey.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There we go. There's Astrid, and she's calling us from Boksburg.
Astrid phoned at 5:30 this morning, and I said, listen, Astrid, the show's not on yet. You can't speak to Gareth. He's not even here. Phone back at 6. She phones back about 15 minutes later. Can I speak to Gareth? So I'm like, listen, the show hasn't started. And then she shits on me for wasting her airtime.
I like her. I want her back on. I like her. She's a regular from now on, all right?
All right.
Put her in the list. We got a list, by the way.
Of?
You know, Blind Barry and Rob Nicolai, who's a little bit nutty. And now we got Astrid and a bunch of other really interesting people.
Do we have the Brownies and Downies on that list?
The Brownies and Downies guys are there.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to be doing that soon.
What are we doing?
We're going to go and do a show from the Brownies and Downies Cafe. Where all the waiters and waitresses have Down syndrome.
So this is a serious thing.
Oh, yeah.
Official. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know what the problem is? Is that people don't treat these guys and girls the same as they treat everybody else. And they don't get on the radio and they don't get on TV and everybody's all awkward and embarrassed around them. I'm not.
Hmm.
I want to find out what they're doing, what they're up to, where their politics are. Because, you know, if you go... there's nothing preventing people with Down syndrome or people who are, you know, mentally handicapped. There's nothing preventing them from voting. You know that. They're allowed to vote just like us.
So they should, and they do, have opinions.
Yeah. Oh, hell yes. Some of them have better opinions than some of the most sane people I know. Supposedly sane.
Supposedly
so there we go. Yeah, because a lot of people think that if you have some mental handicap, you're not allowed to vote. Well, you are. Because where do you draw the line, right? What if someone is just like a slow adult? You can't stop them from voting. And what if someone is really severely retarded? How do you, you know, do you have to have a test? Then we'd all have to go for the test.
Yeah.
And how do you know you or me or Mabale wouldn't fail? Didn't think about that, huh?
Well, that's...
There we go. What a way to start the show this morning. So what's everybody doing for the long weekend? Any plans? Mubs, are we going horseback riding or bungee jumping or any of your usual antics?
No. We're keeping it, you know, family-oriented because the family is in town. There's a little Easter egg hunt that's been planned for the children.
That's nice.
While the adults knock back wine and whatever
else
adult drinks they can find. Yeah, so it will be that kind of setup.
Well, I told you that my brother and his wife are expecting another baby in May.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Didn't I tell you about this?
No, you didn't.
I always leave like out 2 seconds away.
I always leave out the important stuff. Sorry. Anyway, there's another baby coming in May, so...
That's like now.
Yeah, we're getting ready for that. And so the family's expanding and there are more and more children, so we also have to do Easter egg hunts and things again.
Is it a boy or a girl?
It's another boy.
Oh.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
That's in like 2 months, though.
I know.
It's like 7 months pregnant and we didn't hear.
Well, it's not top of mind.
You're pulling a Ben on us here.
No, fair enough. I should have told you long ago. And then my parents are adopting a dog from the SPCA.
Okay.
Remember I drove over Emma?
Yes, you
killed
did.
Her?
Yeah, you did.
Entirely by mistake, I assure you, but I felt so bad about that. And they haven't replaced her. And, you know, the other dogs kind of are also getting older, so they thought maybe they should get another dog. So they went to the SPCA yesterday. And they found a 2-year-old little girl.
That's sweet.
And they decided they're adopting her. But they're pretty strict. They come to your house and they inspect to check that it's a good environment for the dog.
Oh, so it's kind of like human adoptions.
Yeah, big time.
Wow. Where they put you through a very rigorous process to make sure that you are okay to take care of the child.
Right. And my sister says there's this inspector called Busi, and she comes around and she's going to check that everything's okay. And that the dog is safe. You know, it can't run out into the road and... That it can't, you know, get stuck in an electric fence or anything horrible like that. And they check around the garden and they check in the house. And if they're happy, then they give you the dog.
Huh. Oh, so Carl and them are going to meet.
They're going to have another friend this weekend.
And it's a girl.
It's a girl.
Ooh, yes.
Yep. So we're trying to balance it out. There's a boy coming and now there's a girl as well.
You know how it is when boys and girls get together, Sia.
Oh, yeah.
Traditionally speaking.
Especially with dogs, they just smell each other for about half an hour in the most intimate of areas.
Yes.
Imagine if humans did that.
Wow.
That would be so awkward.
That would be very bizarre.
Imagine if you met someone and they were attracted to you and they immediately put their nose in your crotch. Huh?
Mm-mm. You know, that's setting your priorities up. Exactly.
You'd know straight away.
You'd know,
like,
what?
Well, you'd know this person is seriously into me. I mean, I can't tell. When I walk into a room sometimes, and someone will say to me, oh, you see that girl over there? She's looking at you. And I'll go, huh? I'm not very wise to these things. You know what I mean. Come on.
Getting the signs.
I don't pick up on the signs. So if she walked over and stuck her nose in my crotch, I'd have to pay attention, right?
Bingo.
Oh.
We're in this now.
Wow.
Hey, Flax, how's it going living with your girlfriend?
Oh, it's so much fun, except this electricity just vanishes.
What do you mean?
Like, we'll do washing for one day, we'll be on like 90 kilowatts, and then 10 kilowatts are gone.
This is the prepaid stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And you pay out your ass for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's working out to be a bit expensive. I'm scared to get the water bill.
A water bill's not as bad as it
is. It's not as bad as,
Apparently.
Nah, for now.
Apparently they gave us like 600 liters free. Something like that, when we first moved in.
Have you ever thought about how much water there is in a bath?
Isn't it 60 liters?
It's a lot.
I will not take a bath in that house.
Mm-mm. No, showering is much more hygienic anyway.
But I find myself cooking a lot, which is saving me money, because it will last me like 2 days.
You know, Sungwenny Finn takes these languishing...
I like this conversation.
Long
bubble
baths.
Yeah.
Yeah. With oils and...
And bath salts.
And candles all around the bath. And
yeah.
It's all very, it's very beautiful. It seems.
I heard that there is sometimes someone in the corner of the bathroom playing harp music for Sia.
That's right. Here it is. You can hear it. This is a recording we made in Sia's bathroom just the other day. Take a listen to this. This is the actual music that plays when Sia's in the bath. How long does it take you in the bath? How long are you in there for?
It's a good like 20 minute process, 25.
And there he is, splashing the water on his face. playing around in the water. It's all very exciting in Sia's house.
I just found out I'm even weirder a couple of weeks ago.
How?
because I basically bath like, you see, this is what happens when you watch TV too much as a kid. I bath like how I see in the adverts. So like, you'll have your bath soap and you literally scrub it all over your body. And people are like, that's so weird. You don't do that. You use like shower gel. I was like, no, I don't.
you work up a lather.
No, literally.
Yes. You bath like the models that they use.
Yeah, yeah, where
in
they
those
stick yes. out their hands like yes. this. You know, they extend their arm and then they rub that
and your
bar
legs outside.
Yeah, yeah. And the legs.
Oh, wow.
And are you smiling as well the entire time, Sia?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're always smiling in those ads.
You guys, yeah. This is how I
Lux. Operate. I don't know why Lux haven't asked you to be their spokesmodel. They should be on top of this. That is hysterical.
One day I'll start using showers.
God, I'd love to see Sia having a bath. Wouldn't it be funny?
Just bizarre. He's so strange.
It would be. What are you doing this weekend?
Nothing really. Just have a couple of plans with friends and then have that awkward parking situation at home, of course.
What awkward parking is this? Is there not enough parking at your house?
No, well, because they're like 4 million church services because of the Easter weekend.
Okay. So people park at your house?
Oh, yeah.
And then you can't even park at your own house?
It's either they've parked me in, like a couple of weeks ago, I had to interrupt the church service so that I could drive out.
What a bastard.
Didn't your mother scold you for that after?
No.
Oh, didn't she?
What a bastard. You, excuse me, I know you're busy with Jesus, but I just need to move my car. Can the owner of GWB432GP please move their car?
Well, literally, that's what had to happen. Oh, like, I wrote the registration on a little piece of paper, I handed it to the people in front, and then, like, they read it out for me.
Oh, it's the pastor's son. We've got to do this, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, have you ever thought that maybe God's trying to give you a message that,
you should
be
stay.
In church?
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. G-Man would have been more clearer with his messaging, not just parking me in. He should have told me from the
parking get-go. Parking you in is a pretty clear message from God.
See, didn't you struggle to move your car into the yard one time because you got back the morning after a night of hoeing around?
What?
Hoeing around?
So instead of arriving at 5 a.m. like normal people, you got in as the church was starting and everyone
yes.
saw you.
Well, now I have to... There's a 9 o'clock service on a Sunday morning. I now need to make sure that I'm like right before 9, but also at the same time, I don't want to arrive at like 9:15 because my parents are still in the house and then like I'll have a lot of explaining to do. So I literally have this 5-minute window when my parents are in the church, but also like the church service hasn't begun. That's how I get to drive.
You do your walk of shame right across a church.
You know, this is my life.
Listen, you got to be brave to do that.
We all have our different challenges.
Flax, have you told Anthea that we don't need her to do Money Shot tomorrow or Monday?
I'll tell her today. Yeah, I just saw her email.
We don't need to do that. Shame. She also deserves a long weekend. We will be here on Monday, by the way, so don't worry about that.
But not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow, no. But there will be plenty of awesome replays, as there are often here on cliffcentral.com. I mean, you can't hear everything all the time. So sometimes it's necessary for us to, repeat things.
Besides for going to church, is there anything else that is done over Easter? Like a special family meal or you go do a ritual thing?
Well, I got to tell you, you're asking the wrong people if you're asking Mabali and I. We're not particularly good at these rituals and religious holidays.
My mother and sister-in-law were talking about waking up for church tomorrow and then they looked in my direction and I said, oh no, I don't do that thing.
You know, it is hard to be good at this religion stuff. You have to wake up early. You have to go over and it's these long church services because Easter is the most important Christian holiday, technically, right?
Yeah.
It's the most symbolic and, I suppose, significant of the religious holidays for Christians. It's all about when Jesus died on the cross. So this is the one that they have the long service. The Catholics have an immensely long service where they have to trek around the church to the 12 stations of the cross and stuff. Oh, it's hectic.
Well, here's the thing. Did you guys hear about the sign that a priest put up in Manchester in a shopping street?
What?
That basically says, if you're any one of these on the list, you will not inherit God's kingdom.
And what has he got on the list?
I was reading this, I thought, hold up, like who's left? Who's not on this list?
Oh, you mean basically. It's going to be very hard to fulfill these conditions?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
so
hell,
if you are one of these, you're not going to inherit God's kingdom. If you're a fornicator.
So that means that if you're having sex.
Basically.
Oh, okay.
If you are a drunkard, homosexual, gangster rappers, immodest women, immoral movie watchers.
These are all my friends.
Gangster rappers. Flex, you're out.
Darwinists, feminists, atheists, abortionists, socialists, a pot smoker, a dirty dancer, a gambler, a masturbator, Cameron or Clegg or Labour voters, abusers, adulterers, or liberals and terrorists.
That leaves nobody.
No one. So no one's going
to. It's only him. It's going to be him. Heaven's going to be very, very quiet if all those people are left out.
I just want to know
I took off like 10 categories all on my own.
What does he say about immoral women?
Oh, that's you.
Immodest women and immoral movie watchers.
Oh,
you're both of those.
No gozo. Oh, yes.
In fact, my belly is about 90% of those.
Pot smokers, masturbators.
Yeah, there we go. Both of those.
What did David Cameron have to do with any of this?
Well, exactly? Politicians are filthy. We know that. Okay, listen. Believe it or not, even though we're messing around and it's like a mini Friday today because it's a long weekend, we do have some news to get to, and we've got a bunch of other stuff too. Do we have someone who's doing sport this morning, or are we leaving it out? What's the deal?
I've asked around, but everyone wanted to sleep in late. It seems like everyone's taken this whole week off from work.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are on leave, so I don't blame anybody. Not a problem. We'll have to manage. We'll all have to grin and bear it. No sport. Unless you want to call in now and give us a sports update. 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. If you want to call in and do the sport. I mean, really, it's that relaxed today. It's that chilled. And Mubs, you were asking for the song the other day, so here it is, especially in your honor. When we come back, we'll also check in with Anthea. We'll get on with a couple of the things that we have to. And we've got a great guest coming in today, a guy called Milton Nkosi. Milton Nkosi is the BBC's Africa Bureau analyst and correspondent. He's been with the BBC for more than 20 years. Can you believe that? Interviewed Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, F.W. de Klerk. He even went to Orania once on an assignment. So if you're going to find out anything interesting, it'll be from Milton Nkosi, who will speak to us a little bit later on. So he's coming in. We have an interesting new app that's been launched that I'll tell you about a little bit later. And plenty more. CliffCentral.com. This song. I love this song. Zincha's a dog. Sounds like a pretty vicious dog by the sound of the song. I'll never get sick of that song. I love it to pieces. All right, so I got back from Texas earlier this week, and I've got some clips to play for you. I made some recordings in the airport. You know, Austin Airport, they have these have a stage, and musicians play music in the airport. It's cool, huh?
Wow.
No, these guys, I can't remember what they called. In fact, let me just see it. So maybe it says so on the screen. But listen to this quickly, all right? So they're a honky-tonk band.
Oh, dear.
The High Plains Jamboree. That's what they're called.
Okay.
Okay, High Plains Jamboree. Listen to this. You ready?
Yeah. It won't work another field for another farm. Some restaurant up in Omaha's got a park down on its
lawn. So there's one. Let me explain what's going on here. There's one girl with a violin.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one, obviously, being. And she's big. She's a big fat girl. She's wearing cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one who's thin. And she's got long dark hair, and she's a kind of a. She's not an unattractive woman. She plays the banjo, and then the guy in the middle is wearing a cowboy hat, and he plays the guitar.
Are these young people?
Nah, they're kind of 30, 40, maybe even older.
Okay.
All right, but you could see this is a real, you know, real jamboree band. So let me see if I can get them. This is a song about a John Deere tractor.
The original band.
All right.
It won't work.
I think I started it again, but you get the idea, right? Very, very, very cool in an airport. And you are in Texas, so this is totally appropriate.
Yes.
All Okay, I'm going to go to the next song. Because now okay, I'll start it again. This time they're joined by a guy on a big double bass.
Okay.
And he's going... So this is now a little more upbeat, this song. This is about a fancy side of town. It's kind of fun, right?
Honky tonk.
Yeah, it's cool. By the way, look at the size of those legs on the chick on the left, Mavs.
Don't be mean.
She got dumps.
Oh.
Okay, so here, there's another song. You want to hear more, or are you bored of this?
No, let's hear some more, because...
Oh, this is cute. This is a song about how... She's singing about how we've become these machines, and we use machines everywhere, and she just wants analog, please. No more digital.
Oh.
Yeah, so it could be. It's quite a beautiful song. You know, we're such a computer generation, and everybody meets on the internet. Most of your social interactions on the internet, and she says she wants analog, please. So listen to the words. Cute, right? Isn't that cute? That's very cute, right? And then there's one more here. Let me see. I've got one more of these. This is a real country and western song. Oh, this is about a whore.
Sorry.
Well, it's about a chick who's, you know, she's lived this wild life and... she's more to be pitied than scolded. I just love the way every country and western song, every blues song, every honky-tonk song has got some kind of story in it.
Yes.
They never just, it's never just a song. It's never just work, 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 work.
No.
You know, work, 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 work. There's a story. So listen to this girl's life and see if you feel sorry for her, if you think that she deserves to be pitied. Right? Too much beer and wine, huh? Too many good times. Right. That's very cute. And then the other thing I wanted to play for you was the one night we went out and I saw Goldfish performing live. Remember I told you about that?
Yes.
They were performing at this Empire, which is this big kind of outdoor music venue. And they had amazing bands there. I mean... Chris Malinchak was there among other people. And this band are so cool. See, I come in here. I want you to actually see this on the screen. I'm going to see if I can't post this video on cliffcentral.com. Because this is a band. They're called the Lucky Chops. It's a brass band. So there's a guy with a trumpet. There's a guy with a saxophone, a normal alto saxophone. There's a guy with a much bigger baritone saxophone or a tenor saxophone, and then there's a guy with a tuba. You know that huge big... tuba is the biggest piece of brass you get in a band, right? It's that thing that curls around you. It's huge.
Yes.
And then there's a guy on trumpet as well. So it's trumpet, then two saxophones, then a guy on a tuba, and there's one other one. I can't remember who he is. So they're five guys all together. And this is them doing their thing. It's unbelievable. And they dance around on the stage and they are so cool. Listen to this quickly. Take a look at this. I'll put the picture up so you can see the whole video on cliffcentral.com, but watch. They dance around on the stage. They are super, super cool. You see what's going on there?
Yeah, these are young looking guys.
Yeah, they're very young. They're cool.
Choreographed moves.
They got choreographed moves and everything. It is awesome.
Yeah, that tuba is huge.
That tuba is the biggest instrument you've ever seen in your life. The guy must be so tired just carrying it around.
I don't understand how he's dancing along as well.
What's that?
I don't understand how he's dancing along as well.
Oh, listen, these guys got such energy. It's unbelievable. Really, really cool. And everybody just loved them. Wow. So anyway, there's two little clips that I wanted to play you from Texas before I forgot that I had them. All right. Is it time to get to Anthea? You know, did you know it's Anthea's birthday?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You didn't know that, Flax, and you've been talking to her and you forgot to say happy birthday. Happy birthday, Anthea!
Happy birthday!
Thank you very much, everybody.
See, it is your birthday.
It is, indeed.
Thank God for Gareth who knows these things, right?
I'm very impressed. Well done.
I mean, you know, you matter. I can't leave you out there in the cold.
Oh,
especially
thanks,
on your
guys.
Birthday. Let's do a special birthday edition of She Works Hard for Her Money with everybody joining in. Oh. Are you ready?
5, 6, 7. She works hard for her money. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for her money. So it better not be wrong.
Yes. Oh, you guys have definitely made my day. Thank you.
All right, Anthea, what's happening in the world? How was yesterday? I saw a couple of things went up quite nicely.
A lot of things went down, unfortunately.
What are you talking about that went down?
Yeah, I thought the market would be a bit quiet, but actually we had a fair day of trading yesterday. About $1.3 billion changed hands. Market opened lower and then just continued falling throughout the day. So we closed about 1.5% in the red. And then on top of that, the rand just weakened throughout the day. It started at 15:22 in the morning, kind of by afternoon, touched 15:39 to the dollar.
Well, it must have been my rand hedges that were picking me up then yesterday.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So there were a couple of stocks, and those were probably your rand hedges. Yeah. So we've certainly positioned your portfolio nicely, I think.
You have done very well. What can I tell you?
Thanks. Now, this rand weakness, I think it's more dollar strength because, you know, Janet Yellen, who's the U.S. Fed Reserve chairperson, she came out strongly last week and said no rate hike, and she was in no particular hurry to raise interest rates until she was confident that they were seeing sort of solid global economic growth. And then in the last couple of days, we've had quite a few of the regional Fed presidents, like the Chicago Fed president, the Philadelphia Fed president. They've all come out and made fairly hawkish noises, you know, saying we need a rate hike. And so now the dollar is strengthening because they're saying that they want to raise interest rates in April. I mean, I've been thinking quite a bit about this because Nike released their results a couple of days ago and they really weren't a particularly good set of results. And it's because the stronger dollar is bad for American exports. And the dollar is close to trading to its 7-year high. So it's the strongest it's been in 7 years. Yeah.
Well,
I had a look at this because I wanted to see how this was going to affect, the strong dollar was going to affect America. And actually, American exports only makes up about 13% of their GDP. So it's not the end of the world. But I think the Fed are going to be quite aware of the fact at their next meeting, which is in April, that the strong dollar is not doing them any favors. And then back to our market. Yesterday we had CPI inflation number out, shocking 7%. I mean, that is and truly above the SARB's 6% upper target limit.
This means that everybody, it costs 7% more to live now than it did this time last year. That's that right?
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, Gareth, so obviously they take a basket of goods, and the issue is obviously like some things cost more than others. And food inflation is definitely the culprit here. Food and petrol are the two big things. So food inflation is closer to 10%.
Well, I hate to say I told you so, but you told us so. You said with the drought and everything else, there's going to be a huge amount of pressure on people's food spending.
Yeah, and now this weaker rand, the impact of that is definitely being felt, right? Mm-hmm. And, I think what you'll see now is a lot of economists predicting that the MPC will have to raise interest rates at the next meeting. But I think the SARB are fairly aware that it takes a while for interest rate hikes to filter through into the market. So we've had two consecutive interest rate hikes, and they might wait. I think they are worried, though, because they've got this huge inflation number, but they've also got lower economic growth, and so there's a real problem. I'm not so much worried about the SARB, to be honest. I think they'll figure it out. The thing that concerns me is how this affects the man in the street. It's inflation that we actually can't avoid.
Yeah.
So it's not clothing inflation, which is imported, and if you can't afford it, you don't buy a new wardrobe. This is everyday stuff. You have to eat, and you have to have your daily commute, and that's where the inflation really is. So yeah, it's going to be a tough year, I'm afraid.
It's going to hit people very hard once they start doing the maths.
That's right, yeah. Your everyday
monthly shop. 7%, huh?
7% overall, but 7% food inflation and 10, and petrol 17.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's mostly because of the rand's devaluing.
That's right, yes.
So don't let the president bullshit you by saying that what happened in December was more of a reaction to the world economy than him firing the finance minister, right?
Oh, that's absolutely. He's lost the plot. I mean, he's right in one sense that the rand was weakening, but what we didn't need was for it to weaken more when he opened his mouth.
Yeah, if he'd shut up, it wouldn't have gone so much worse.
Right, and this kind of, yeah, exactly. So there you go. That's where we are at the moment with that.
Yeah.
And so there's not much in the way of company news right now. There was one interesting report or trading statement, I should say, yesterday from a company called CMH, Combined Motor Holdings. And they do car leasing, car sales, car financing, so everything across the value chain. Small company, it's about R1 billion market cap. Yesterday, about 1.5 million rand shares changed hands. But they put out a trading statement that said earnings was going to be between 25 and 30% higher. This is, I'm not sure how they're, what's that?
No, that's kind of frightening.
Well, because it's so good. How could it be so good? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's unexpected, right?
Totally unexpected, completely. The share was up 7% yesterday, and they only released results in about a week and a half's time. And the share really does trade by appointment. In fact, some days it doesn't trade at all. But I'm still very keen to watch and see where they're getting this growth, because I want to see how it's going to filter through into the economy. I don't know who's buying new cars.
Hmm.
You know, we spoke a while ago, and who was it? Somebody reported results, and they were saying that, it was First Rand's results, and they do car financing. And normally, for every new cars bought, one used car is bought, or they finance, I should say. Now it's the other way around. So they're financing more used cars than there are new cars. So,
well, I mean, I went shopping around for a new car because mine is now at a certain stage where, it's 100,000 kilometers over the clock and the maintenance plan doesn't kick in anymore and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went looking around for new cars, and I can tell you right now, it's just unaffordable.
They've put up prices again. That's the weak rand, right? Because we import so many cars.
Yeah. No, it's not cool. It really is. And I imagine for many other people, it's just become an impossible thing now. This is something, again, that you said you need. You can't avoid. If you only have your food and your transport costs to worry about, and you whittle away everything else, it's still a problem.
Absolutely, yeah, sure. So you're not really paying 7% more. You're actually paying anything between 10 and 12% more for goods, for your daily living, really.
Right. Okay, what else do we need to know this morning?
Nothing really. There's no real company news. European markets They were flat to slightly lower yesterday, but guess what? Those European travel stocks, they had a little bounce. So no surprise there. The world really has become, or the, I should say the market has become
used to terrorism. Well, this is interesting because Ben was referring to the show Billions, and he was watching that in the World Trade Center situation in 2001, where this fictional character bet he shorted the airline and hospitality businesses immediately after the first plane hit the first tower.
Where his other two business partners were in the towers and died.
And this is the reason that Ben asked the question, but I suddenly made sense to me when I watched the episode last night. Clearly, there are ways that you can use political, geopolitical, even natural disaster events to make or to lose a huge amount of money.
Sure.
And I mean, it sounds callous, but that is what happens.
I'm afraid that is. You know, it's not that fictional. There were people who made money shorting airline stocks after 9/11. So not that far off, I'm afraid.
Wow.
Based on real characters. So it's not great. Do you know that the concern is, though, so, okay, we've had European travel stocks rebound after the terrorist attacks and after coming off a bit initially. But I think in the long term, I think it will have an impact. I was talking to someone last night who was saying that he travels to London quite a bit. And of late, he's been very nervous to go on the underground. So he now takes the cabs or Uber because he is scared of terrorist attacks. And I think people will stop traveling to the big cities in Europe if this continues. And remember, we saw the watch sales as well. So that watch IWG, where they did not sell a single new watch in Paris from after the Paris attacks until last month.
Unbelievable.
So it does have an impact. I just think the stock market has been less aware of it or brushing it aside too flippantly, perhaps.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much. Have a lovely birthday. Have an excellent long weekend, and we will see you again on Tuesday or after that when you're back.
Thank you very much. I am back on Wednesday. You'll talk to Martin on Tuesday.
Very good. And all the best for you. Anything special planned for the birthday?
Yes, lots, actually.
Oh, yeah?
My team have organized sushi and bubbles on the roof for lunch. I know. They're very good,
nice.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Very good.
Taking care of me. And dinner, and then I'm away for the weekend scuba diving. My birthday
very
treat.
Very nice. Okay. Please don't get any kind of funny physical condition after being underwater for a long time.
Decompressing. I'll be decompressing.
None of that stuff. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend and enjoy your Easter.
Thank you very much. There's Anthea Gardner with The Money Shot daily about this time. Everything
she
you need.
She has such an exciting life.
She does, huh?
She really does. I mean, she's intelligent. She does all this important work. She surfs. She goes scuba diving.
I don't know. It's good to be Anthea.
Very well-rounded life.
It's good to be Anthea. Okay, a couple of things. Adele spoke about Brussels at her show. Do you want to hear about this?
Yeah, okay.
I hope I'm not stealing anything from your news.
No.
Yeah. All right. Did you all get here okay? Good, well, it's Tuesday today, isn't it? Happy Tuesday, could be any day to me. Tour life, oi, oi. The other night, I said oi, oi about 40 times, and I was literally the most annoying person ever. So I promise that'll be the only time I say it. Thank you so much for coming to my show. I'm really, really excited.
Can everybody follow her with that accent of hers? Is everybody struggling a little bit? Because I am.
Just a little bit, okay. Yeah.
Thank you for coming to my show.
I'm loving you four girls on the back row. I know, I want to be friends with you. I do. Having the best time ever, drinking Alco Pops. Woohoo. That's great. I just love the way you're hugging each other. It's lovely. So, obviously, when I woke up this morning and I heard the terrible news about Brussels, I felt a bit bad and sad about the fact that I was going to be doing a show. But I'm really glad we're all here, and we're all going to make enough noise so they can hear us from here, right? By me. I'm here to entertain you, so we're all united. So that makes us much better than fuckers. You're on your own, you fucking loonies.
You're on your own, you fucking loonies. I like her. You know?
She's very real.
Yeah, she doesn't hold back.
So I know you're still sitting down already. This is my sixth show. Did you see that fly, by the way, during One Lonely, when the screen came on, come to get a spotlight? Did you see it? It's like flying in the rhythm with the song. Anyway, I've noticed you've all sat down already. Feel free to sit down. However, I have to warn you, I only have a couple of upbeat numbers, and I'm going to give them to you quickly. So you will run out of time to dance. So if you fancy it, stand up.
Okay. All right, there we go. That's Adele at her concert just talking about the Brussels attacks, and she basically says, if you're here having fun at my concert, then we're better than those fuckers. That's what she says. Just as angry as the rest of us are. It's nice, though, that she mentioned it. You know, there's nothing worse than some artist on a stage, and everybody's thinking about some big tragedy that's happened, and the artist makes no reference to it at all. They're like, oh, no, that didn't. Did that happen? Oh.
No, because in their world, it's all perfect, and it's flowers, and you know, nothing happens.
But these artists do. Like someone like Kanye West, he lives a very insulated, isolated existence, actually.
He probably doesn't know the day-to-day runnings of what's happening in the world.
I don't think he knows what day of the week it is. And why would it matter to him? Because whether it's every day is either a weekend or a weekday. He doesn't really think about it much more than that. He doesn't have to.
Mm. I feel like going to the studio today.
Then he'll go to the studio.
I don't feel like going to the studio today. I think I'm going to tweet. I think I'm going to hack into Kim's Instagram.
That's pretty much his life.
And then his team scrambles.
Yeah, exactly. They run around. Oh, God, he's got a phone in his hand. Oh, heaven help us. Anyway, so it turns out he's not broke, despite all his protestations to the contrary. But he is feeling sorry for himself. And, you know, this goes to prove what I've always believed. Wealth and poverty are in your head. You know, compared to Kanye West, we're all poor. Mm-hmm. So we're in poverty compared to Kanye West. Mm-hmm. We are. Compared to, if you take the poorest South Africans and you compare them to the poorest people in India, they're rich.
Well, they're better off.
They're rich. They're like, they're wealthy. They've got a horrible little house, but to someone who lives on the street in the gutter next to the road, that's better. You know, it's all in your head. So poverty and then wealth again. Like Kanye's now got this thing that he needs to be wealthier. That's what he thinks. What he's really saying is that compared to someone like Mark Zuckerberg or Warren Buffett, he's poor, which is true. But it's all in his head.
But it's also first world problems.
Of course.
I'm sorry. Kanye, like, I don't have any sympathy.
No, but I mean,
not a one degree.
Sia, you're very insensitive.
Why would you have sympathy for someone who doesn't even know you exist?
But what a tough life he lives. You know, 53 million are just so tough.
It is tough. Please. Hard to be him. It's hard to be him, especially when he sees things that cost 100 million and he can't afford them. Oh. That's how it works. I'm telling you, it's in your head. If you go out, and you heard what Anthea just said now, there's stuff that we can't avoid that costs us money, food and petrol and stuff like that, right? Mm. It's gone up 7% across the board is what we're going to be paying to live now, the same way as we lived last year. Mm. Now, if you go out and you want to buy a really nice pair of shoes, or I don't know, you see some gadget in a shop and you really want it. If you can't afford it, in your head, you think I'm poor.
Yeah, because in that moment, you're feeling sorry for yourself because you can't afford to buy the things that you want.
Right. Now, if you're Kanye and he sees a $100 million house and he can't afford it, he goes, oh, I'm so poor. He's got $53 million in the bank, but to him, he's poor.
This just makes me think then, when is enough enough?
Ah, that's the best questions here, ever. How would you know?
It's never enough, though.
I mean, he could decide, you know, for me, money just means freedom. If you have total freedom to do whatever you want, he could wake up and go, I actually want to have lunch in France, and he could do that.
Yeah.
But he still feels in his own mind that it's not enough.
That's the thing. I'm telling you, the richest guy in the world, what, Bill Gates?
Is it Bill Gates again?
Bill Gates.
Okay.
So if Bill Gates decides that he wants to do something amazing, let's say he wakes up one morning with a rush of blood to the head and he goes, I want to give every person on earth $1,000. And he's going to look in his bank account and he's going to go, oh, shit, I can't afford that. Oh no, I'm poor. See what I mean? Do you see? Like it's all in your head.
But if you are, if you have been declared the richest person in the world, you have no business ever being in the state of mind where you're thinking, oh, I'm poor. No, sorry.
If you're
that
on
doesn't
any
fly.
List.
Okay, but here's Sia's question is enough. When is enough enough? Why does he keep working? Why does he keep making more money? Why doesn't he just spend until he's dead? He doesn't have to worry. He's not going to run out. He's not leaving his kids anything anyway. He should be spending up a storm, fur coats and gold top canes and plane tickets on his own jet to just about anywhere. But he isn't. He's working. He's still working. And it's amazing. Like for some people, it's not so much about the amount of money, but it's about the joy of making it. Some people really enjoy making money. And they just have a talent for it. And it could come out of an idea. It could come out of a network that you've got. It could come out of doing something that nobody else is doing.
Maybe it's a case of you challenging yourself to see if you can up your previous success. So if in the 1 year he made 20 million US dollars, let's say the second year he's thinking, oh, I wonder if I can make 25 this year, if I can make 30.
So, it's
so he's
a...
he's constantly challenging himself to better his last best.
Do you think that's healthy?
Sure, I think that's very healthy because you're the only one who should set those standards for yourself. If you're comparing yourself to other people, that's unhealthy.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think?
Also, I think it's just a human trait. We will always want to achieve more. I think that's within every one of us.
Unless you lack ambition completely. I mean, I know some losers who are quite happy to sit around and do nothing. I do, and smoke weed and never really get up off their backsides and make an effort with the world. We all know people like that.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though. Sia asked, when is enough enough? So let me ask you this. What is the difference between a 5 million rand house and a 10 million rand house? Or what's the difference between a 10 million rand house and a 100 million rand house? What's the difference? I mean, how can you... A house is a house, right? At a certain point, you've got everything. You've got a...
Okay.
You've got an indoor cinema. You've got a beautiful... sitting room and TV room and dining room and bedroom, and you've got guest bedrooms, and you've got an indoor pool, and you've got an outdoor pool, but there's got to be a point where you go, I can't really much improve on this.
Yeah.
This is about as good as the house gets. I mean, unless it's just bigger and bigger and bigger, which is a palace. But then it's just size. It's not necessarily, you're not going to go into any of those rooms.
No.
Know what I mean?
Especially if you live on your own.
So when is enough enough? That's the best question ever.
You see, then you have to look at what really matters for you. And that's why you see the likes of Bill Gates now with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, whatever
he's trying to cure malaria all over the world, or rather end malaria, not cure it. But.
So whatever works for them. But I don't know. It's a tricky situation to be in. I think it's finding whatever makes you content ultimately.
Yeah, Flex.
See, I think the difference comes in when you telling your friend with the 10 million rand house that your house is now 100 million rand.
So it's just it's to show off. It's a dick size competition.
Yes,
it's to show off.
But that's guys. Girls don't do that.
Ah, well.
Really? They don't go, my house is worth X million. They show each other their houses.
Yeah, they'll say,
and they get jealous of each other's paintings or interiors.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing. It's showing up your friend and saying, look, I'm living better than you. My lifestyle is better than yours.
I live better than you. you peasant. Sean, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's happening, man?
No, not much. Hey, the guy that wrote your app. For Cliff Central.
Yeah.
What's the chances of getting him on air and having a conversation with him the one morning? I'll tell you why, though. I've downloaded your app and I'm listening via the app to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first little thing it says here is modify or delete the contents of your SD card. So for him to explain that to me or to us, why would that be a permission? You know, when you download an app, it asks you for permission and it does certain things to the phone.
That's very strange because, first of all, I mean, I don't have an Android phone, so I don't have an SD card. So I've never seen that message pop up on mine. Okay, you know what? I'll get him in here. It's Greg. We'll ask Greg to come in one morning and explain. I don't know how it works.
You know, some of these applications, yours is actually, it's quite nice. That's the only one on there that's of a bit of concern. But some of these apps, it tells you remotely access your photos. It can take your, it can access your camera and whatnot.
Well, we
so
don't.
It would be interesting.
Yeah,
to
we don't want
to
do that.
Why.
Do you know what I want to do eventually? Is I want to have a situation where we can allow you to record your own stuff and we can put it onto the lineup. So imagine you could do a show from home.
Wow.
And you could submit
nice.
It. And you submit it to Cliff Central, and it's available as a podcast download for anyone else.
Anyway, all right, guys, have a good morning.
You know what it could be, dude? I'm just thinking now, it could be about an issue of space on the phone. If you downloaded like 50 or 60 podcasts, maybe you're just out of space on your phone.
It's possible. You're right, eh?
Yeah.
All right, shut guys.
Maybe clear some space. Get some of that porn off your phone.
Never. I'll get a second phone.
All right. I'd rather get a second phone than lose the porn. All right, you filthy bastard.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There we go. There's Sean.
But more than that, he can always directly mail them on support@cliffcentral.com.
Hey, see, I just solved this problem. I'm a technical genius.
So it is the porn. Yeah, that's
the porn. Trust me. I know
you
people.
You need a support team when you're around.
But hang on. I'm still looking for an answer to this question about, you know, the difference between a 50 million rand house and a 5 million rand house. I mean, how much more do you add to increase it by 10 times? You know what I mean?
Although Flax makes a good point, though, because when you're sitting in your 50 million rand house, you're secretly masturbating to the fact that it is a 50 million rand house and not the 5 million.
But I'm sure that's
you feel
just
some sense of accomplishment that you could get a 50 million rand house.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm stupid. And someone help me with this if you think I'm talking complete shit. But you could have an apartment with one bedroom in it.
Yeah.
And it could be your dream apartment.
Mm.
And that's all you want. And you're not, it's really about how happy you are there. If I had to build a house for 50 million rand, and believe me, I've got ideas and designs in my head for all kinds of things that I feel like Kanye West, I'm too poor to afford at the moment. But if I did that, it would be purely to satisfy myself.
But then that is the difference between you and somebody else who wants to show off to the rest of us. That person, for them, that is the number one priority, is to be seen to be living a certain way.
But can you?
Whereas
really,
for you, it's about you being happy.
Yeah.
But can that really still be your driving motivation when this is your normal? You know what I mean? Do you still get excited over getting into a jet when you've been flying private jets for years?
Oh, you know how you,
that's your normal,
you know how
though?
You remind yourself? You go on one commercial flight in economy and you're like, oh, Jesus, I never need to get on one of these again. Like, it's good to be rich.
Yeah. Once you've been spoiled, Sia, you can't go back.
If you stay in some two-star hotel for a weekend and you get back to your luxurious house where everything is kitted out to suit you, oh, believe me, you're happy to be in your house.
Yeah, I'm not saying you wouldn't be happy, but it's not like a big deal anymore to want to show off.
Dude,
not
show off. I walk into my house, I'm so happy to be there. I am so happy there. I don't want to leave.
All you need to do is just look at wealthy people who are going through a divorce and the fighting that happens there. The driving force behind that fighting is because they're fighting to maintain that lifestyle that they've been living.
Exactly.
They don't want to go backwards.
Exactly.
So they don't get tired of the luxury. They want to keep that for the rest of their lives.
What's your dream house, Mubs?
I've
never asked you this before.
You know, if I'm going to be living on my own, I don't need a mansion with five different bedrooms and
just want a really sexy
bedrooms.
Apartment at the top of the Michelangelo.
Yeah, if I'm by myself.
Then you can go out on the balcony naked. With a glass of wine.
Yes.
I could see you living like that. Like marble bathroom. You know, it doesn't need to be huge, but very, very luxurious.
Yeah.
Very luxurious. Lot of white and black. Mm-hmm. Almost like a clinical look.
And I see that. Glass top tables and polished sort of chrome or steel. And I see that. Okay.
What sort of cotton thread are we talking about here?
Oh, what's the highest? How high can we go?
On a bed?
Yes.
For everything, the sheets.
Satin
the
sheets.
How high can we go with these threads?
Not cotton for mubs, satin.
Oh, excuse us, the silk count.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Very open, lots of natural light coming in, very spacious.
Mirrors. Right.
I mean, I kind of like the idea of
big ice bucket on the table full of champagne bottles.
Oh, that's a necessity.
I like the idea of windows everywhere, but then I also feel a little bit exposed.
Not if you're at the top of the building.
Yeah, I mean, if people can't get a view into what's happening inside, yeah. That whole windows all over the place look I like.
Sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, I could see you living like that.
I
and you'd have a lift all of your own. Like this lift that goes to your apartment would not stop at anyone else's floor.
Oh, man.
Straight to the top.
Yeah,
just
you get
for
those.
Me.
God, you get some beautiful apartments in New York. Wow. Well, you have your own elevator lobby. You got a doorman who meets you at the door. You get in, the lift closes behind you, you go up, and it opens into your own entrance hall on like the 40th floor. You got a chandelier in the entrance hall, and then you've got this view over Central Park. Can you imagine?
Mm. It reminds me of the TV show Million Dollar Listing New York. I always just watch that show with like a tissue in my hand because I just cry. Like those houses are insane.
Beautiful.
It just tells the story of the real estate and the
just remember
as they
that,
sell them.
Just remember that 99% of New Yorkers don't live like that.
Okay, yeah, true.
No.
99% of New Yorkers live under a staircase.
You stretch out both arms and you're touching either side of the apartment.
And they sleep inside their suitcase. They don't have a bed.
In a broom cupboard.
Yeah, yeah, they use
like
their
Harry
old
Potter?
Clothes. Their old clothes they stuff into the suitcase as a mattress.
It is very expensive living in that city.
You think the cost of living here is big. If you live on the island of Manhattan, you have to have millions of dollars in the bank. And I'm talking about people who live very ordinary lives. Maybe you've got the ground floor three rooms, so a kitchen, open plan dining room situation, a bedroom, and maybe one other room. And you need to be a millionaire to have that in New York in dollars. It's crazy. It's insane.
What goes into, you know, the cost of living? Is it the day-to-day of
everything,
actually owning property
everything
there?
Everything just costs
is it
more.
Transport?
Everything costs more. It's just a very expensive place to live.
Wow.
New York, Tokyo. Some cities are just very expensive places to live. Do you want to say something?
I was going to say there's so much included. Rent, tax, cleaning, levies. It's more than just paying rent.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay this and that, and then they'll catch you out with that on the side.
Well, he knows. He's just figured it out having moved into his own place.
Okay, now I really get why they say if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, enough of this fantasy. We've got to move on and get on to reality. We've got some news in a moment or two. Justice is not in today, but he will return next Thursday for the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, so don't miss it next week. Also, on the way, we're going to speak to Milton Nkosi, who is a very interesting dude. He's worked for the BBC's Africa Bureau as an analyst and correspondent for more than 20 years. Find out about the amazing interviews that he's done, the fact that he's been all over the world. He's even been to places in South Africa that we don't know about. So we'll find out all about those from him in a short while, Milton Nkosi. And Mubs's news is coming up next. CliffCentral.com.